You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Professor Margaret Mutu is the Professor of Māori Studies at the University of Auckland. I discuss with her the state of te reo in New Zealand right now, translation, misinterpretation and its political implications, and how our use of language reflects our understanding of the world. I first asked her thoughts on Te Wiki or Te Reo Māori as an event.
The country has done this for several years now, but I and a number of other Māori who have spent their lives trying to make sure that the language doesn't die consider that 1 week in the year is simply not sufficient, and that the reality is that if you want the Māori language to be as it should be, then speaking Māori in this country should be just normal, and that you do it as a matter of course every day of the year, and you should not have to focus on it for just 1 week.
Yeah, I have been confronted, well, not just within this week, but I'm not a fluent speaker, I am Māori. And yeah, I've definitely been confronted with the fact that my own participation is pretty superficial, and it can be, well, it usually is just straight translations of phrases that I use or would have to use anyway in English into Māori. And Lillian spoke earlier this week with Timothy Karetu, and they touched on how thinking in te reo is far different than replacing English with Māori translations. So I kind of wanted to talk about understanding and translation between language and cultures in general. And you are a linguist, am I correct?
Yes, I am.
Yes, as well as other things, many other things. So what are the downfalls of translation in terms of understanding and communication?
All right, so every language in the world has been developed in order to articulate the values, the worldviews, and the way things are done in a particular culture. So for a particular community, a very large community, that holds common views and sees the world the same. And that's what any language around the world will do. So when you speak English, even though you're in this country, you do import and assume English cultural values. And a lot of Māori who are speakers of the language will use Māori words in English because there is no equivalent in English. Now, you have a large number of words in Māori, and especially words that are around values, words that are around intangible things, that English simply cannot express because it is not part of their culture. But the same goes, of course, of English. There are several things in English that are very difficult to express in Māori. That's the nature of languages right the way across the world. The most common one that is grossly misunderstood is the word mana. Mm-hmm. Now, mana gets used by everyone. It is part of New Zealand English. You look up in the New Zealand English Dictionary, there's the word mana. In the New Zealand English Dictionary, it tells you it is something like respect, prestige, and words like that. That is not the meaning of mana in the Māori language. The meaning of mana in the Māori language can be most simply put as power and authority derived originally from the gods and passed down through the generations. It is an extremely powerful word. It is much more powerful than sovereignty, and the way it is used in English completely demeans the proper meaning of that word. So that's why you have to be very careful about the use of when you take words from Māori and put them into English. Are you preserving the Māori meaning, or are you actually creating a new word?
That's really interesting. I have spent some time in Germany, and I gained understanding of that sort of thing, those how concepts change, even the most basic of things change when you speak it in a different language. Like as simple as I'm hungry, and in German being Ich habe Hunger, which means I have hunger. And having and being are two completely different concepts.
Yes, exactly right. And the whole notion of possession and ownership is totally different in English from what it is in Māori.
Mm.
And the classic example of that is that the English were given or allocated lands, and the word we have for that is tuku, tuku whenua. They were allocated lands for their use, but the word tuku has inferred in it that the land must come back when they're finished with it. You've got an equivalent in English, it's lease.
Mm.
But the Pākehā, when they first came to this country, chose to interpret tuku whenua as a sale of land and told us that we had sold it, alienated it completely, given up all our rights in it, which of course we hadn't done.
Mm.
Again, that was a very serious mistranslation that happened in the 1830s, 40s, right the way up to the 1870s and 1880s. And it stole huge amounts of land off us. And I think because Pākehās were living here, like you, when you were in Germany, you learnt that there was a different meaning. Pākehās, when they came here, they knew that tuku whenua didn't mean land sale, but they chose to reinterpret it, redefine it as land sale, and then claim that they'd got all this land off Māori.
Mm. What sort of reflection does our use then of te reo in the current state in the country have on wider understandings or values placed on Māori culture or Māori people in general?
There is a lot of misinterpretation still that goes on, but the more speakers of the language you get, and here it doesn't have to be just Māori speakers, but in order to learn the language properly, you do need to be within a Māori community because you need to learn the culture, the history as well.
Mm.
But at the moment, you've got a lot of misinterpretation going on. And in particular, where it's really stark is in legislation, because the legislation will take a word like kaitiakitanga, which is it's mana. So it's derived originally from the gods, but it's a responsibility to pass the lands, your resources and everything else on in as good as, if not better, condition than you inherited it in.
Mm.
And so that gets reduced to something like guardianship in the Resource Management Act, which is just wrong.
Mm.
And the legislators did manage to see that they had made a mistake in their definition of kaitiakitanga, and they did alter it a few years after the Act came into place. But it's still not right. It still does not acknowledge that there's a strong spiritual component that English can't handle. And because of that, you've got this misinterpretation of kaitiakitanga going on. What do we do about that? Well, those of us who end up taking cases before the courts, before councils, it is incumbent on us to be absolutely vigilant to make sure that the interpretation of kaitiakitanga that is given is ours and not some made-up word that has a totally different meaning that is in the Resource Management Act.
Mm. So does that mean ensuring the involvement of Māori?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you need speakers of the language. Kui and kaumātua are your best. Your elders are the best holders of this knowledge. And really, I mean, if I had my way, the whole way that the university gives out degrees would be changed. But you would include spending a lot of time with elders with incredible knowledge, just as much, if not more knowledge, than your lecturers, your and everything else, just so that you understand that there are two quite distinct worldviews and two quite distinct ways of seeing things in this country. And then things would just be a lot easier in this country if people acknowledged there were two worldviews and they are held by different people.
Thank you very much for speaking to me, Margaret. Do you have anything else you'd like to add to the conversation?
No, I'd love to see the day when I can walk down the street and hear Māori language being spoken as a matter of course, and nobody thinks it's odd.
Same. Really, yeah. Me too. I feel like I've been... I get so much whakama about the fact, when I was in Germany, it was one of the reasons I came home, because I'm like, I am speaking German, and I'm better at speaking German now than I am at te reo, and I just can't have this anymore. So,
I know, and let me say to people who are in your position, and there are a very large number of our people in that position, it is not your fault. So you should not be hakama, which is Now, that is often translated as embarrassed, but it also means shy, and that's an important meaning of whakamā, because it holds you back from trying to speak it. The reason that the reo is in the state it is because the English came here absolutely determined to wipe it out, and there's no two words about that. And so you are bringing it back against a tide that has been absolutely determined to wipe it out. So if you stand against that tide, you do not need to be whakamā to stand against that tide.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.